A young boy let the offering plate pass him without putting his offering in it. After the service was over, he approached the pastor and gave him his offering. The pastor asked him why he did not put the money in the plate. The boy explained, "I wanted to be sure that you got it. My parents said that you are the poorest preacher this church has ever had. And I just didn't want to take any chances." Oh. In our scripture today, we find two different parties searching for a newborn Christ. First, we have three wise men from the east who followed a star and the teachings of the Old Testament to find Jesus. This should be of no surprise, since the wise men were also referred to in the Greek translation as magi. The magi were people who studied the stars like astrologers and were considered to be very wise in the pagan community. Also, it was believed in the pagan community that when someone of importance was born, like a king, for example, that astrological anomalies would happen, like bright stars or meteors or falling stars or whatever. Things would happen in the skies that would let people know that somebody of importance had been born. Anyways, the three wise men felt led to go and seek out this new king of the Jews and pay their respects and take him gifts. They may have been a part of the pagan community, which was not a part of the Jewish community. We haven't picked that up already. But they didn't question who Jesus was when they found him. They accepted Christ completely as the new king of the Jews, and they celebrated with his parents. There seemed to be no question from the time they saw the star and started the journey till the time they got there and found Christ, there seemed to be no question in their mind this was who he was. Now, the other party that was looking for Christ was King Herod and his bunch. Herod learned from the three wise men about the birth of the new king for the Jews. And Herod was really upset for obvious reasons. He saw Jesus as a threat to his kingship. Herod apparently knew that what the wise men were telling him was the truth. If he didn't think it was the truth, he wouldn't have got upset. But he was really upset. And he didn't want Christ to become king of the Jews because he wanted to stay in control of the Jews and their land. He liked having the power and control over the Jewish empire. In short, he liked being the king. I wonder how many of us in our hearts know that what we read in the Bible and what we hear in church on Sunday mornings is the truth about Christ. But we have not fully accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior in our hearts. We have not given over our lives fully to Christ because we want to stay in control of our own life. We want to be in control of our own destiny, our own empire. How many of us, if we looked at our lives under a microscope, maybe we'd find areas of our lives where we've given over to Christ and other areas of our lives where we haven't yet. Further, how many of our churches today are being run by people who are busy trying to hang on to their power and control of the church rather than being busy about the Lord's work and letting Christ be in control of the church? The question that you'll hear many times today is, whose footsteps are we following in? Herod's or the wise men's? Now, getting back to Herod, he is upset at the thought of another king coming on the scene. And so he sends the three wise men on their way to go and find this new king of the Jews and then report back to him. Quite a difference here between the three wise men and Herod. Wouldn't you think? I mean, the three wise men, they find out, they realize this new king has been born, and they go themselves to find him and to pay homage and respect and to find out what it's all about, what he's up to. Herod, on the other hand, sends somebody else out to find where the Christ child is in the world and what he's doing. Again, I want to ask, are we as disciples of Christ going out ourselves to see where Christ is at work in the world and getting involved with Him in ministry? Or are we sitting back comfortably in our pews and telling someone else that they need to go out and be in ministry for Christ and report back at the next committee meeting? How many of us think that, well, it's the pastor's job to go out and do all this ministry out in the world stuff, and he can come back and report to us on Sunday morning? You know, it's a shame, but there's a lot of churches that feel that way. Now, I don't particularly feel that here, but there are a lot of churches in our conference that feel that way. It's a shame, isn't it? How many of us feel that maybe it's the leaders of the committee's jobs to go out and find out about all this ministry stuff and then come back and report it to committee meetings? Whose footsteps are we following? Herod and the three wise men had very different motives for finding Christ, didn't they? The three wise men wanted to find Christ to worship Him and pay homage, bring Him gifts, celebrate with His parents, His birth, and all that He's about and means. Herod, on the other hand, wanted to find Christ to destroy Him, to keep Him from becoming the King of the Jews. Brings us to the third point. What are our motives for going to church? Have you ever asked yourself why I go to church? Why do I go to church? For some of us, it may be to come and worship our Lord and Savior and build a relationship with Him. For others, it may be just to come and spend time with old friends. Some of us may come because it's the right thing to do. Did you know that in the 40s and 50s, and I know y'all are too young for that, for the 40s and 50s, in the 40s and 50s, the trend was that if you were a respectable citizen in the community, you go to church. It was the thing to do. Some of us may come for the church dinners because we like to eat. Now, none of these things are necessarily bad, but they shouldn't be the main reason why we come to church. The main reason for coming again should be to worship our Lord and Savior and build a relationship with Him. That should be the main reason. What's your motive for being here this morning? Whose footsteps are you following in? You say, well, what's all this about all these footsteps? What's the big deal? Well, we need to be careful. We need to be careful whose footsteps we're following in. We may think we're on the right path. See, that's the thing. We can get ourselves really confused or tripped up. We think we're on the right path in our lives. We think our churches are on the right path to what they're supposed to be doing. And lo and behold, if we stop and examine, we find out maybe they're not. Maybe they are, but maybe they're not. We have to be really careful. We have to constantly examine that. Kind of reminds me of my own life a little bit. You see, I basically grew up in my family business. My parents owned a small retail business. And as the oldest child of my parents, most people in town thought that I would probably follow in my dad's footsteps and take over the family business. And I did work there from the time I was in the sixth grade, emptying trash and doing all those jobs like that, all the way up into my young adult years where I even managed the business for a while. And there was a time during that where I thought these people, you know, the people in town were right. This was my destiny. I was going to grow up and follow in my father's footsteps and take over the family business. Now, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But when I finally gave over my life fully to Christ and began to let Him be in charge of my life and let Him lead me where He wanted me to go, I found out those were the wrong footsteps. I found out I was following the footsteps of my dad, or my footsteps of my own desires and wants and needs, not the path that Christ had laid out for me. Obviously, because I'm here now and not standing behind a counter. Well, I guess I am kind of standing behind a counter, but a different one. The point is this. Christ has a path for each one of us and for our church. And it's filled with many wonderful blessings. He has so much in store for each one of us. So many blessings He wants to give us. So many exciting things that he wants to show us. So many wonderful opportunities for ministry that he wants to put in our way. But we're never going to find those. We're never going to experience those until we fully give our life over to Christ. Until we say, that's it. I'm not going to be in control of my life anymore. I'm going to let Christ do it. When we do that, and begin to follow Christ, he'll take us to new and exciting places. All we have to do is quit following in the footsteps of our own wants and desires, of our own plan, our own agenda, and start following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ.